Hello all, and welcome to this Charity Digital podcast. My name is Nick Wyatt, and thank you so much for being here. So here we are, a podcast on how not to host a podcast. That is a lot of pressure on me, isn't it? why don't you just use the one that I did the first time?
I mean, we can, but I just can't remember what was wrong with it, but there was something wrong with it. Right.
No, let's do it.
Try again.
Okay. Hello all, and welcome to this Charity Digital podcast. My name is Nick Wyatt, and thank you so much for being here. So here we are, a podcast on how not to host a podcast. That's a lot of pressure on me, I think. When I was asked to host this podcast, initially I was pretty excited. I really like hosting podcasts, but then I also thought, are they asking me to do this because I've messed up podcasts in the past? I was approached and told, Nick, we have a podcast coming up which you are perfect for. It's called How Not to Host a Podcast. And I'm still not sure really how to take that. but in all seriousness, Charity Digital has been hosting podcasts for over 2 years now. And I think as a team, we have learned a lot how to do it and, you know, worked our ways around it. But we've also made some classic rookie mistakes, myself included, probably more than others. But we have learned from them, and I think we can look back and laugh. I think. My guests today have been running their own podcast for even longer than us, and I'm sure they are filled with their fair share of nightmare stories, but also tips and tricks to help us all out. So for today's podcast, we are joined by our friends at Social Bee and other esteemed podcast hosts and presenters from across the charity sector. We have come together to reflect on our own shortcomings and discuss how we might do things differently a second time around. So I'm joined by Lindsay, CEO of Social Bee, Bex Ray Evans, host of the Tech for Good live podcast, and Samuel Davis, producer and chair of the Charity Chat podcast. How are we all doing today?
All good, thank you. And I think we're all in the same camp. Any podcaster that hasn't had a mistake in some shape or form would be lying, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll get into those in a second, but I've already got a list on my page here of things I've already done. I've probably just made a few and I don't even know. I thought it'd be a good way to start. We could just go around quickly, do a little short introduction of ourselves and the podcast you're on. And if we'll start with you then, Lindsay.
Thank you for inviting us, Nick. As you've kindly done, my name's Lindsay. I'm from Social Bee. We're an international digital organisation. We have been on podcasts and have been hosting our podcast for well over 12 months now and made lots of rookie mistakes, but we can record them, can't we? Which means we can also delete and edit them before we publish them. But lots of learn, and hopefully I can share some useful insights and learn from Bex and yourself and Samuel today as well.
Excellent. Thank you. And Samuel?
Yeah, so I'm Samuel Davies. I'm a chair and producer of Charity Chat. We've been going for about 5 years. We're really a collective of volunteers all working in the sector. And our aim really is that we interview people from all walks of life, from all levels of the charity sector, with a view to getting their experiences and then applying them to wider issues across the sector that hopefully we can all learn from.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Bex?
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me. Can I ask you a question before I introduce myself?
Go ahead.
How did it feel saying podcast so many times in that introduction?
Horrible.
There was a lot of podcasts. I'm sure there'll be more podcasts as we go.
It gets in the back of your mind that you've said the same word a lot, and then suddenly it'll change into a new word. But
yeah, I'm Bex. I run Tech for Good Live. I'm a regular host. We do weekly podcasts, and we have been doing for about 5 years. We get guests on to talk about how to use tech for social good and talk about the news. It's very news related, so we have a quick turnaround. I've been making podcasts for 15 years, though, which is a very long time in the world of podcasts, and I don't know why I have been doing it for so long.
Bam, 15 years. You've done it for more years than I've actually done podcasts, so.
I don't think they were called podcasts when I started doing them. I think I listened to my first ever podcast a while back and was like, we were confused as to what to call it. I think they might have been called cloudcasts for a little bit back then. There was a whole discussion about, oh, what do we call this thing we're doing? Which was very strange, because now they're definitely podcasts.
Wow. Gosh. I was probably too young to even know what a podcast even was back then. So, you know.
What are you saying? Excuse me, Nick.
Well, I didn't mean that. I realized after I just said that how bad it was, but I meant it more than I just, yeah, I've not been doing podcasts for a long time, all right? Leave me alone.
Mistake one, insult guests I'm with age-related comments.
Oh dear, this is going swimmingly. Right, let's start with just that then, with the meat and gravy. What are some of the mistakes you have made in your podcast? And I'll start with you, Bex, as we just left off with you.
This is going to be like really negative. My main mistake is making podcasts at all. So I make podcasts for other people, for charities quite a lot, and they come to me and say, we want a podcast. And I say, don't have one. And it's usually because the reasons for having a podcast is they think it'll be a quick way to get more audience, when actually it's not. It's good for some things, but it's not a good way to get more audience. It's not in itself a marketing tool. It's good for like loyalty. If you've already got an audience and you've got some of your audience might be interested in podcasts, which is a very niche sector of society at the minute. It's growing, but at the minute there's like 2 people in the entirety of the UK that listen to podcasts. And if they are your audience, then do make a podcast. Also, I think it takes more time than people ever expect. So many of the charities who then proceeded to make a podcast despite me telling them not to, shut down the podcast after 10 episodes. I think I did all I could there to dissuade them. Not to say that podcasts don't work ever. Obviously, some do. As I make podcasts still after 15 years, there must be some reason to do them. But like, that's my first one on a really negative note. On the other one, I would say like, don't just turn up to your podcast and chat and talk. And I say that because that's exactly what we do on our podcast. And it's probably not very good, I suspect, because of that. We do a bit of planning, but ultimately we just let people come and chat and get boring sometimes, I think, because of that. Volunteers. So we kind of just do that because it's an easy way of doing it, but maybe not the best way to do a podcast. So don't take advice from me, maybe is a good tip. And we got drunk on our pilot, that has never been aired. And we will never air that podcast. So that's probably another mistake we made.
Was that planned, but unplanned?
I keep saying we should release it as a joke podcast, but our producer Paul has completely banned it. He's like, absolutely no way, that can never ever be released. I'm curious as to how bad it is. It's because Paul took so long to set it up. At the time we didn't have a studio, and he just had a load of microphones that were all like disconnected, and it took him about 3 hours to set it up. And in the meantime, we all just had too many gins, and then we just tried to do a podcast. So I don't know if I recommend that.
Are we all drinking today? Have I missed the trick on that one?
Just caffeine.
I'm sticking with water and hydration, so hopefully that will work out for me. Sam, what's the gossip?
What's the gossip? Well, yeah, I mean, I've made so many mistakes, really. I mean, I guess all of it, in a way, it's looking at taking a positive from a negative, isn't it? Because, you know, I've been halfway through an interview and realized I didn't press record. You know, we started out, I suppose the pandemic has changed things quite in a good way, I guess, in terms of it's made it easier for us to sit down and have a fairly good quality conversation with people, even if they're miles and miles away. We used to interview people face to face, and some of those scenarios were quite difficult. We'd be meeting in pubs, which was so noisy, it was very hard to hear, or we'd be, there'd be all sorts of issues with the tech. Sometimes it seems easier now using Zoom or Teams or something and recording it. And so I think, you know, that's definitely improved things for us. But yeah, I mean, there have been so many mistakes. I guess, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, I was talking to a couple of other producers on the show when we were kind of brainstorming all the mistakes we'd made. And one of the things that really struck home for us was the location that we interview people in, because we haven't aired all of our episodes, similar to you, Bex. We didn't get drunk, but we had we had episodes that just didn't deliver. And I guess we've always been pretty stringent with what we want to put out there to our audience. We do get a lot of feedback from the audience. So we kind of know what they want. And if we don't get that in an interview, then we just don't put it out there. I suppose there's a kind of quality assurance stamp there. But we, one of the things was interviewing people at work. I've interviewed a couple of people myself in their workplace, and it's quite usual, I think, in that scenario where people just aren't as open to having more honest conversations about things. And of course, we're asking questions which really relate to wider sector issues or their experience, things that might have gone wrong in different, you know, parts of their experience. And it's been hard. It's been a bit like pulling teeth in some cases. So, you know, we tend now to try and make sure people are at ease. And that's kind of how we operate. So Zoom kind of helps because most people are at home, right? So and we don't use the video, you know, so they're in their gym jams or whatever. It's all fine.
Just chilling. Just saying how it is as comfortable as possible. Lindsay?
I think both of mine sort of complement what Bex and Samuel have both said. So Bex is very similar to myself. Like, I don't try and put people off stuff, but anything to do with content marketing, which I feel podcast does fall into, it's not easy. Like, to set up a podcast, that's easy, but to then put the content on there and think about what to say, that's the hardest bit. And, you know, whether it's in the charity sector or other sector, people will always go, I haven't got anything useful to say. But if you ask them a question, they do know their subject, but trying to plan ahead is quite hard. You know, I think Bex and Samuel both said they do weekly. I mean, that's, my face pulled a funny face when they said it, because I was like, oh my God, that's a lot of work. Ours is bi-weekly, so ours is every other week. But, you know, I will admit I've gone a week and gone, oh my God, I haven't got any content. What am I going to do? I need to pull a rabbit out of a hat big time. And I have repurposed content. I've used like a YouTube video that we've done and repurposed that into a podcast, which is not ideal, but I'm all up for being agile when needed. But similar to Bex, I really think about what value you're going to add and plan ahead. If you can always have a couple in your back pocket, amazing, would be my first point. Mm. And then linked to Samuel's point of... Samuel, what was your point?
that's my trouble. I drone on for so long, I don't know.
I know what it was, sorry. Sorry, much like Bex, I've been juggling a lot today. Don't assume people are comfortable on podcasts. I mean, all of us have already said, like, we're really comfy, you know, chatting, and as if we're just chatting with a cup of tea. We're used to doing it, or gin in Beck's case. Mm. But people, if they're used to, you know, talking on stage or delivering training or talking to clients face to face, I've done a few podcasts with people I hold in high regard, and I've said, are you happy to do a podcast? Like, oh yeah, okay. And I've said, this is a subject I want to talk about. And it is just a chat. I've tried to make them feel comfortable. And then I've had them on the podcast, and before I hit record, you know, I'll just say, you know, these are the points you want to cover. It's just very informal, if you've listened to some of our others, but they're very nervous. And when I've dug into that, they're really nervous about hearing their own voice. Mm. They're really nervous that actually it's going to be published to the world, and that makes them really nervous. So I wouldn't say it's a mistake, but I would say just, you know, don't assume because we're happy to do it and they've said yes, that they're not going to have some sort of nervous connotations in doing it, because they might not have done a podcast before. They just might be, you know, one guy spoke to said, I've never heard my voice recorded before. I really don't feel comfortable, but I'm going to give it a go. So I just try and make them feel at ease and try and understand that, okay, would it help you if I ask more questions to try and direct the conversation? Like, most, you know, I'm sure we could chat for like 2-3 hours quite easily, but some people need that sort of coercion to try and just help them feel a bit comfortable. So that would be my second tip, which actually is very similar to Bex and Sam's tips as well.
A lot of good points there. I'm almost a little bit worried that people are going to come away from this thinking that Bex is just a drunk hot podcast host now, because I think we've all commented on it now. But it was your own fault, Bex.
When we were in the studio, we used to always record face-to-face in the studio, and we'd always bring some beers. So we were, for the first few seasons, probably drunk. We don't now. We're at home. I don't know why. We've just got out of the habit. And it's probably for the best.
It's probably for the best. I feel like the highs and the lows of drinking while doing it must be like all over the place. You might get some 10 out of 10 moments next to some wine.
I am definitely funnier after wine. I've done some tests.
Aren't we all?
I've listened to myself back. You know, when you think you're funnier after wine?
Yeah.
I actually am. I've tested it. I've heard myself after wine, and it is definitely funnier.
Well, there we go. Top tip for everybody listening. Try it with a glass of wine and see if you're funnier. I think some of my biggest mistakes... in the short time I've been doing podcasts is like when I do the preparation there's like little bits that I forget about. Like I'll read the question, I'll be like, yeah, I get that. But I never think about like, how am I actually going to deliver that? Or how am I going to say it? Because I think one of the first podcasts I ever hosted, I just fumbled two of the questions. So luckily my guests were so good that they knew what I was basically asking. But there was definitely a pause where they were like, what did he just say? I'm not sure he was meant to ask that. And I was like sat there like, because it was my first time, like, I'm not going to correct myself. I'm just going to sit here in silence and wallow in my own pity. But those were not good moments for me. But also another one is I really, really suck at ending podcasts and webinars and such. I'm going to try not to do that today. But I know the last one I did, I got to the end and I just said, right, that's it. Pause and went, bye, and hit escape. And then I had to come back in to apologize to everyone that I did such a poor ending, and it was all recorded and I haven't even watched it back because I don't want to know what was included and what wasn't. But I think it's the preparation for those little bits to know that they're, you know, it doesn't just end, you know, questions,
Nick,
have to be asked.
I thought you were going to say you couldn't wrap up the interview. It was a kind of a no, you hang up first yeah, type scenario.
Yeah, it was exactly that. I thought someone was going to jump in for me and be like, well done, Nick, good job, it's all over now. But then I sort of sat there in silence and everyone was looking at me, and then I just hit escape and I was like, oh, good job, Nick. And then someone messaged me being like, yeah, you're not going to leave just yet. And I was like, oh, no. I know that I asked the team for some of their horror stories. One of them, which I thought was the best one, which was that midway through a podcast, one of the guests basically stood up and claimed that they needed to go to the loo and they couldn't hold it in any longer and had to walk out midway for a recording. I thought that was quite amusing. So that, I guess the tip there is, go to the bathroom beforehand. I guess the next question, and I think we've touched on this a little bit, is because there was a few good tips and stuff there for other people doing podcasts, but do we have any more helpful tips about the production side of things for a podcast? I'll start with Sam, as you're on my screen at the moment.
Sure. So I suppose we choreograph our interviews quite a lot these days. So for example, we have a conversation with we call them contributors or guests. We have a conversation with the contributor ahead of the interview. We kind of decide on an angle for that podcast. And we also have, generally, we're talking for 30 to 60 minutes. 60 minutes is usually, one of my colleagues does the longer shows. I've got a shorter attention span, but we do it for kind of 30 to 60 minutes. And so we've kind of got by the time we get to actually sitting down and interviewing somebody, we've got a pretty clear idea of where we want to go with the conversation. They've got an idea of where they want to go. We've usually send them one or two initial opening questions to kind of get the ball running, so they can kind of prepare for those. And I think that also kind of puts them at ease a bit. And also, I guess, all the producers, so there are about seven of us producing shows on the podcast, and we all go in with a clear objective in terms of what is it. Usually it's looking at it through the prism of, you know, what is it I want to learn from this person? And so we go in with that as our key objective. And then in theory, that works. I mean, most of the time it does. Although, again, based on the topic of this conversation, sometimes it doesn't work. And I think we've had a couple of interviews, again, they haven't gone out, where we've spoken to people who have given us that kind of very kind of PR kind of consultancy response to things. You know, I think of the character Stuart in The Thick of It, and it's that kind of interview. And you just kind of think it's like, you know, knitting fog or something. It's like you don't really understand. There's nothing tangible from what they've said that you can really apply to your life, you know? And so we think, so there's probably nothing tangible for our audience. So therefore it just doesn't make it. There's some difficult interviews sometimes, but on the whole, I think with that prep and that kind of objective, our guests, our contributors are usually pretty spot on.
Yeah, I haven't run into that issue yet. Every time I've been very lucky that all the guests I've ever hosted for a podcast have kind of got in involved and saved me whenever I was making mistakes myself. So yeah, I look forward to that. But yeah, those tips will be good for me, let alone the audience. So Lindsay, do you have anything to add?
In terms of production, I do all of it. So I do the production, I do the intro, the outro, and then I do the interviews. And it's like Beck said, it's a lot of work. So I've then got some of our team to help. And don't think that you have to do all of it. don't think that you're the only person in your team that can do it. It might be there's someone that's really passionate about, you know, getting creative, doing the intros and outros, or editing it and uploading it onto whatever platform you're uploading it on. So if you want to get your team involved, feel free to show them how to do it, then record a session so they can then get familiar with it. And then link to the point that some of you have made as well, like, do like record your intro and outro so you can just like slot them in at either end. Don't think you have to do them every time. And you can like record a selection. So we've got three or four intros and outros subject to, we've got like a digital roundup that we do once a month. So we've got the intro and outro for that. So we can literally just slot it in and be as time efficient as possible, because sometimes the editing can be as long as the production itself. But I think linked to the mistake side of thing is, and you know, you guys have all highlighted, it's not perfection, like allow for the mistakes. They're part of the fun, and you can have a joke on a podcast. You know, lots of people actually like the sort of informal podcast. If it is a bit too structured and a bit too, you know, very boring, people switch off, and ultimately they're, you know, they're choosing to put your voice and your insight in their ears. So the PR side of things, which Samuel touched on, is a definite no-no. It's not sales. People are listening because they want to learn. So anything you can do around that in terms of the learning and focusing and planning ahead side of things can really help. And also we might have a plan of a couple of weeks ahead, sometimes I have like three or four in the bank, but sometimes I might have spoken to a couple of clients during the week, or I might have done a couple of webinars and a question's come up two or three times and I'm like, that's really topical, let's do a quick one on that. You know, there's no harm, I don't think, in doing that agile side of things, of actually listening to your audience and taking their questions and challenges and turning those into a podcast as well.
Yeah, no, I can fully agree with the idea of splitting up the workload of making the podcast. It sounds like a lot of work for you to do by yourself. I know that. I mean, I'm just here to host and then I'm off, you know. Our lovely back of house team support me throughout the whole thing. So, you know, I can't imagine what it'd be like to edit the whole thing. I know I wouldn't love to do that.
If they want any more work, I've got plenty of work.
Oh, Sasha's sitting back there and I reckon she'd love to do that. So I'll put that forward to her. Bex?
I just want to mainly reiterate what Samuel said about the PR interview people. Like, I can kind of, I now like beware of the big org now, because they tend to send their PR person and you just won't get anything useful. Mm. We had Uber on a gig economy podcast where we were slating the gig economy and basically slating Uber, and we managed to get Uber to make an appearance, and obviously we were dead excited, like big, you know, organization. The guy they were sending sounded really important, but then we were like, oh, they're not going to give us what we need, are they? And we interviewed him anyway, and of course he didn't give us what we needed. Was not here to play ball at all, which was hilarious. I always think about the Uber podcast, although now I'm aware of the big organization. But actually we also had Monzo Bank on and they were amazing. Sure. I've got like a bit of a beam up on it now about big organizations, but Monzo were great, so maybe not all of them are the same. I suppose my two tips really are, I am a bit of a sound geek, not that I'm qualified at all in sound editing or anything like that, but I just think you are making a product that is to do with sound. You wouldn't write a blog if you're not a good writer and you can't write well. So you don't make a podcast that sounds terrible. And I think it's obviously we've all talked about the positives of the pandemic for podcasting, as in we can get guests from anywhere in and we can, you know, make the location better. But the downs, you know, we have had worldwide guests now, and we will continue even after pandemic to be online in some way or another because we can get those guests in. However, the sound quality has gone down. Like we record on Zoom, but my main thing would say don't record on Zoom, because it compresses the sound so much. Like we've probably all listened to a podcast where we've gone, oh, that interview is terrible and really low quality, and I literally can't listen to it. I've turned off so many podcasts because the sound quality has been low. So we're a volunteer organization. We've got no money, but with the money we have scraped together, we've managed to buy the main team proper microphones. And I say that echoing today because I'm using a different microphone for a test, and it didn't quite work. But we bought everybody a proper microphone. And my big tip is, if you do use Zoom, which we have to because we've tried other platforms that are dedicated to sound, like Squadcast, for example, but none of them have worked for us. They've all been very buggy, which is embarrassing in front of guests. So we've had to go back to Zoom. But my big tip is, there's a setting where you can record each guest as a separate channel, and that compresses the sound slightly less, so it sounds a little bit better. So I recommend you all go find that setting if you're recording through Zoom. because it's been like, it's a big deal. I didn't do, my settings got weird last week and it didn't do it, and I got really shouted at by my editors. So it's back on now. But that's my big sound tip. And actually, get a studio if you can. I absolutely love studio recording. It's amazing. But then the second one is only plan for what you can handle, because it does take a lot of time. We do prep. We have lots of spreadsheets to manage our guests, and we have guests. We have weekly guests because we have the skills in our team are around interviewing. We literally have researchers in the team who spend all day, every day interviewing people. We have people who used to be on community radio. So we've got a lot of good interview skills in the team. So we did have an interview-based chat podcast, worked really well for us because we have those skills. And we also have a really like big set of contacts between us. So that's why we brought in the guest angle. But honestly, wrangling guests is an absolute nightmare. And that's where most of our time goes. And we have a big spreadsheet for that. But do what you can handle. So we record as live. We barely edit. We don't have a Sasha to edit the podcast like this podcast has. So we kind of brief guests and say, look, we're not going to edit anything. Unless you say something really bad, let's pretend this is a live podcast. And we do that because we're thinking about our time as well. So think internally, what can you cope? What skills do you have in your organization to make this podcast, and play off that? If you have someone who's really good at reading out loud, script your podcast, like do play to your strengths.
Yeah.
Just adding to what Bex has said, studios, we were doing ours in a studio before COVID, and there's some really cost-effective studios out there. I don't know what ones Bex was using, but Pirate, we're based in the east of England, or that's where I live. So we were going into Pirate Studios. They'd literally just opened in Norwich, and it's an amazing setup, and it wasn't very much money at all. It's got all the best equipment. Obviously, we're not using it now. I'm sure we could if we wanted, but we've just got used to doing it at home. But Pirate, I've just had a quick look. They've got locations all over the blooming place, so worth a look at pirate.com.
Yeah, I can endorse Pirate too. I've been using them for many years just for music stuff, and they are great. You know, they gave me the experience of running through a 4x12, for anyone knows what that is, but a little off topic. But yes, let's start talking about the marketing. I mean, if we could do that for the next question, I reckon. Next mistake, do not rap in your podcast. let's talk about the promotional side of things. So how do you guys go about it, and how do you make your podcast stand out from the others? I'll start with you, Sam, as we were talking about rapping.
Sure. Yeah, we don't. I mean, that's an idea. I'll take that forward to the committee. We've got a... I guess, how do we promote it? Well, so I suppose the first thing, and it's already kind of been said, but you know, it is hard. It's hard graft, really, building an audience. And we started out a few years ago when there are far fewer podcasts than there are now. So I think it's probably more difficult, I guess. I think what we've always done is we have over the last few years, especially, we've kept to a schedule. We've made sure that every Sunday our listenership know that there's going to be a podcast out at 7 o'clock, and there is, and we've kept to that through illness, through COVID, you know, because it's partly, I suppose, because we've got a fairly big team now that are involved behind the scenes and doing the interviews. But we've also been quite fortunate in we've got some corporate supporters on who have either given us kits or who have helped us with, you know, free website design, all that kind of stuff, but also have given us cash, which has helped to make sure that we can put a bit of promotion into our work and get a fairly big audience. And so I think all those types of things have been really helpful. But I guess also because we're not professional podcasters, if that's a thing, I don't even know if that's a thing, but you know, we haven't got that training. None of us have come from backgrounds where we're, you know, in radio or anything like that. So we've had to kind of self-taught, picking up from other podcasts. And from that, we've kind of built a house style. I think we're kind of regimented behind the scenes around how we produce, you know, kind of our guides around what we can say and what we can't say, and also what our contributors can say. So for example, because of our remit is to deliver learning for people in the charity sector, and really kind of in a positive way, then, you know, any, not that it happens very often, but any comment around, you know, any negative comment about any charity, we take that straight out because it's not part of the remit that we hold. You know, we're really trying to deliver learnings for people, and we don't think that's useful. We don't get down the kind of gossipy route. So I think all of those types of things have helped us. They've also helped us keep our corporate sponsors on board because they understand where we're coming from, and then we're reliable, I guess, in how we deliver our podcast.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked there, but thinking about what you just said about the sort of including different information, I started thinking, have I said anything bad here that I'm going to have to remove?
You've got editors for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Lindsay, do you have anything to add to that? Or tell us your promotion plans. Sorry, that's what I should say. Give us the secrets.
I was thinking about the things that we do and the mistakes we've made and the mistakes we've seen other organisations do. So I've got three or four tips that I thought might be valuable to share. First of all is when you're promoting it, focus on the value. How many of us have received that email saying, we've got a new website, come and have a look? Yeah, but why? Yeah, and the same with podcasts. So don't just email and say, we've got a podcast out. Think about the subject of that podcast and share that in email, share that on social, share that in conversation and interlink it. So we do a lot of training and we work with a lot of clients and it might be that we've had a conversation with someone and go, they ask a question. Actually, there's a podcast that'd be really useful. So intertwine it into everything you're doing, but really focus on the value side of things. Reuse and recycle. Like, don't think once you've published that podcast, it can never be promoted again. I'm sure there's subjects that, you know, Bex and Samuel and myself have covered that is, you know, is evergreen content. So if there's something that you think could be emailed out again or shared on social, feel free to do that, because ultimately people are not going to come to your website or come and find you. Think, I wonder if they've got a podcast. As Bex has indicated, you know, podcasting in the UK is about, you know, obviously people aren't recording the screen, but it's tiny compared to what it is in some other parts of the world. So if your audience is not there, they're definitely not going to come and find you, where we have an international audience. So we're quite lucky. I think we're covered in like 40 or 50 countries. And that wasn't our plan. We've just, you know, growing it organically, but think about your audience and making sure you're promoting it and reusing it and upcycling it and using it across all the different marketing channels you're doing. And finally, SEO it. So search engine optimize it, because more and more people are searching for content. Search engines are now indexing podcast content. And obviously I'm a prominent podcast listener as well as user myself. And I will often go into Google or go into the podcast subscription things I use and do searches. And the most disappointing thing I find is, and this is linked to Bex's first comment, is don't do a podcast, because I'll do a search on like being a vegetarian or grow your own vegetables at home, all the things that I've been getting into during COVID. And you go, oh, this looks really interesting. And they haven't podcasted in like a year, because clearly they got on the podcast bandwagon and then they've given up. So make sure you SEO your podcast title, and within the description, make sure you put keywords in there that are relevant to those people that might be searching for that podcast, because it may be they're searching and they hadn't heard of you and then they find you that way.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good point. And SEO is one of those things I hadn't even really thought about. I always focus on the social and sort of the email side of it. That, yeah. But Ewan's here for that kind of stuff. So Bex, have you got any more secrets on promotions to give us?
Oh, I think mine are all really boring, but I agree with everything everybody said, particularly on SEO. We've also started transcribing, partly for SEO, but mainly for accessibility. I don't think many people actually view those transcripts, but it felt like an incredibly important thing for us to do for accessibility, especially with our topics. We talk about accessibility all the time, so it would have been awful for us not to actually be an accessible podcast. So that's something that we've been doing lately. Our main way of promoting ourselves is to get big guests, because they already have an audience that, and we don't. Who are we? We're nobodies, but our guests can be pretty famous. And I think it's been really easy for us to get big guests, because people still like the idea of being a podcast guest, so are quite flattered. So that's been probably our main way of building our audience. And I think, you know, alongside Samuel's tip of consistent release, long-term release, you know, you're going to do a 10 episode podcast. I don't think it's really going to get you that far. I think being consistent over years, which all of us have done, it is the way to build that audience over time, I think. And a really boring one as well is don't upload to a dedicated podcast platform, because, so for example, like we use podcast.co, but there are loads out there. There's anchor.fm and all sorts. Because if we used to upload to SoundCloud because it was free, but also obviously that doesn't last forever, that freeness. You do have to pay for the other platforms, but what they do is they syndicate to all of the other platforms. So people, you will listen to your podcast on an app. It might be iTunes, it might be a particular podcast app. And if you upload to a particular podcast platform, it pushes it out to all of those if you set it up correctly. And that's how you do podcast marketing, really. That's like one of the main things. If you're not on all the platforms, then you won't get heard if you're not there. Yeah, boring tips. No magical way of gaining a big audience, I don't think. Just, I always like the Field of Dreams quote. You know, if they build it, they will come. That is not what happens with a podcast.
Well, they didn't have to be magical, you know. They just needed to be good, and they were good. So don't worry about it. I think that was pretty good. I know that, yeah, I do all of our sort of social channels, and so I promote all of our podcasts through there. And I totally agree with what you said, Lindsay, about the, it's not just saying, here's a new podcast, go listen. I try to always get people engaged with the actual question that we're kind of asking ourselves beforehand. And hopefully from there, that's where usually we get the most engagement, is when I sort of pose this question that we're asking ourselves right now. So, you know, how not to host a podcast. And then that does always do the best job. I mean, so I guess to summarize, I guess we have to ask ourselves just the question of how not to host a podcast. And I think we've learned a lot of lessons today. I mean, we've learned that you should drink, but not drink. I've learned to do more prep on my questions, and so they can end things properly. You know, the promotional side of things and the helpful production team tips and such. So I think there's a lot to go by here. And I really hope that by hosting this, I've not also given another point. I'm not sure. I'll listen back and find out. But thank you so much, guys, for taking part in this. It's been really a lot of fun. And thank you so much to all our listeners out there. I feel like I almost have to say bye in a weird way now, since I said that earlier. So I want to be like, bye.
You need to wrap it, Nick, surely.
How are you going to wrap it? Are you going to do a wrap?
No.
Wrap it.
I wouldn't even know how. let's not do that. But yes, once again, thank you for taking part in this podcast, and thank you to all our listeners. And bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks.
See ya.
Ta-ra.